God bless you, Yedidim, and shalom, beloved ones. Join me as we go on a journey together, discovering how the writings in the Hebrew Bible and the New Testament connect.
Discovering the Jewish Jesus is shown in approximately 200 countries around the world, ministering the good news of the gospel to those in need.
Coming May 2014, 3 days only, Song of Songs Conference. What viewers are saying about Rabbi Schneider's series, Song of Songs. For the first time, I experienced the love of Jesus. I felt the love of the Father fall on me, and I just started weeping. I began to feel the heaviness lift off of me. I now understand the depth of His love. What a message! Song of Songs Conference, featuring Rabbi Schneider, with special music guests Joshua James and Jill Shannon. Friday, May 16th through Sunday, May 18th. Lion of Judah World Outreach Center, formerly Adat Adonai, where Rabbi Schneider ministers each week. To register or for more information, call 800-240-1303 or visit us at discoveringthejewishjesus.com and click Song of Songs Conference. Seating is limited. Be sure to register today.
Shalom, I'm Cynthia, Rabbi Schneider's wife. Beloved, we have testimonies coming in of God touching and transforming people's lives through this ministry. It's my prayer that today the Lord will touch and transform your life as Rabbi Schneider teaches and preaches God's word.
God bless you, Yedidim, and shalom, beloved ones. Yedidim is the Hebrew word for beloved ones, and we are the beloved ones of the Lord. In fact, I'm calling today's message, My Beloved Ones. We are the beloved ones of the Father. We're the beloved ones of Jesus. The Apostle John, in his letters, addresses us as the beloved, and this is the way the Father feels about us. At times, I get letters from folks or emails. They don't like that I call the church, the beloved ones, or beloved as I'm teaching. And that makes me feel bad because I don't want to be offensive to anybody. But what I'm trying to do is to help us open up to the love of God. Many people that write me tell me how blessed they are that I do call the audience beloved ones. Today, I believe that we're going to be penetrated by the Holy Spirit and by the Word to understand how beautiful we are to God. Many of you have been tuning in over the last year as I've been preaching through the Song of Songs. The reason that I took a year to preach on the Song of Songs is because it was so important to me that this word got in the hearts of God's people. Because it's a word that most people haven't heard. It's a flow of the Holy Spirit that many have not been introduced to. In fact, you can get the entire teaching through our website, The Song of Songs, Journey into Divine Love, if you weren't able to tune in. Today, what I want to do is I want to focus on what was the goal of the teaching in the Song of Songs, and that goal was encountering Jesus, encountering the living Word of God. You see, this is what Jesus wants for us. This is the heart of Jesus. His heart is not that we'll just look at the letter of Scriptures, but rather that the Scriptures would lead us to Him. You see, Jesus said to the Pharisees in John 5, He said, "You search the Scriptures because you think in them you have life. Yet it's these that bear witness of me," he said, "and you refuse to come to me that you might have life." And so you see, the whole purpose of Scripture, beloved ones, is to bring us to King Jesus, that we would listen now, encounter him. The Song of Songs started out just as a way to set the stage for where we're going today. Again, this is not the series in the Song of Songs. It's just some encounters that people have had through the book that I want to bring to the surface today, because I believe that God is going to minister to us and encounter many of you supernaturally in His love during this broadcast today. I'm reading now in the Song of Songs, chapter number 1, verse number 4. And the Shulamite bride says there, "Draw me after you and let us run together." So she's wanting Jesus to bring her to himself. She wants to encounter him. And she calls out that he would draw her to himself. And then the next thing she says is, "The king has brought me into his chambers." So the next thing that happens is, beloved ones, as she calls out to the Lord that he would encounter her, that he would bring her to himself in spirit. And in reality, the next thing that happens is he does that and she meets him. She says, "The king has brought me into his chambers. In other words, that she was experiencing a measure of the fullness of God in her life. And that set her course for the rest of her life. Once she had realized how real he was, once she was touched by him, it took her breath away, and for the rest of her life, she desired him more than anything else. And that's what I want for you, and that's what I want for myself. So, Father, King Jesus, we want to say to you today that we know that you're alive. We know that you love us individually, personally, specifically, that you're concerned even with the details of our life, that your love is closer to us than our own breath. And we ask you now, Lord Jesus, that you would open up a window in the Spirit, that you would open up a door for us today and draw us in to encounter you, to encounter the Father's love, to encounter your love in a brand new way. Let me illustrate what I'm talking about here. This is a letter that I recently received from Elaine in Jamaica. It's a letter of how she was healed as she was being ministered to through the Lord as I was teaching on the Song of Songs what God did for her. And the reason I'm reading it is to lift our level of faith and expectancy that we can experience the reality of a supernatural God. Listen to what she says. I'm just reading part of it here. She said, "One evening, I got my laptop, got ready for bed and began to watch Journeying into Divine Love." That's my series on the Song of Songs. She said, "Oddly enough, I could not tell you exactly which episode I was watching, either the first or the second. It was what you said. It was more or less the entire concept of your teaching on this book that did something profound to me. It was like I was finally hearing what my spirit had been searching for all my life, though I wasn't aware of it. Deep, calling to deep is the only way to describe it. I began to cry and cry and cry. I had never cried like this before in my life. And it wasn't just quantity. It was like a whole new quality of tears. I literally could feel and almost see my heart breaking down the middle, just slowly being rent apart from the top down. I was amazed, even in the midst of this, at the memories that were being dredged up. Hurts I hadn't thought about in years. Memories I didn't even know I possess, but when brought to mind, had the impact and clarity of having happened only yesterday. My heart was split wide open to reveal every hurt that had been built up and lay buried for over 50 years. When the rent in my heart reached the bottom, totally broken, completely cleaved in two, I suddenly began to feel the most astounding thing. At this point, I could literally see the rent slowly and gently begin to close up. Warmth and gentleness washed over me in waves. And that's when the profound experience, which this whole letter is about, happened. I was softly scooped up. That's the only way I can describe it. I could both feel and see a hand lifting every bit of me, not just me as the physical body with all its attributes, but somehow more of me than I realized existed. It's like my conception of all of me falls short of what really is all of me. I understood why God calls himself the Great I Am. I had never imagined, much less experienced, the depth of love I felt at that point. There's truly no way to describe it. Oh, for a thousand tongues, it transcends a mere knowing or a feeling. I remember thinking, this is real. This is the real thing. Over and over and over again. All I can say is I feel certain most Christians have no idea of the love of God and how deep it is. Your program was over. I remember reaching over to close my laptop before going to sleep. For the next several days, the experience affected me. You know how it is when you have a particularly strong dream and the feeling of it stays with you for a while? That's what it was like, except more engulfing. I felt like I was drifting through the next few days. The experience was all I thought about. It affected every thought, every action. I felt the reality of being in the world, but not of the world. Again, Elaine from Jamaica. She encountered King Jesus, beloved ones. You see, this is the point of the Bible. The point of the Bible is to lead us to King Jesus. That's why it's helpful when we're reading the Bible to pray it back to him. And so, for example, in the Song of Songs, when we begin there in verse 4 and she says, "Draw me after you," she says to Jesus, "and let us run together." The way to respond to that is to lift our heart to Jesus, and we speak to Him ourselves and we pray to Him, "Lord Jesus, draw me after you. And let us run together. I want to experience life in fellowship and in partnership with you." And then she continued there in verse 4. She said, "The king has brought me into his chambers." She was describing here an encounter that she had with God of intimacy and depth. And so we pray it back, "Father God, would you draw me into your chambers?" And beloved, when our heart is lifted to the Lord like this and we're expectant to experience Him, the Lord is going to break through at times. Not every second of every day are we going to experience some bliss, but no, during the journey, times of refreshment, seasons of breakthrough, unexpected surprises and touches from the presence of the Lord, from the hand of God are going to touch us, and we're going to know that Jesus is more alive than we ever realize. He's not just somebody up there that we believe in. He's somebody, beloved, that's closer to us than our own breath, and He wants us to experience and feel His love. But you see, in order to experience this love, we have to have hunger. You see, the Shulamite bride, who's a shadow of you and I, a shadow of the church, she had a real hunger. She cried out to God, "Kiss me with the kisses of your mouth." She cried out to Him, "Draw me to you." She was seeking Him. You see, Jesus said, "Seek and you shall find. Draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And so you see, these experiences, these encounters come when we're hungry and thirsty after God. In 1987, the Lord spoke to me in an audible voice and said, "You're an evangelist." Since that time, God's been preparing me and I believe you for what He's about to do. We are, as I stand here today, broadcasting into nearly 200 countries around the world. And recently, the Lord's begun opening doors for me to preach on the ground in Haiti and in Africa.
News of what God did in the evangelistic gathering, with the main speaker being Rabbi K.A. Schneider, has reached globally. Some of the most dramatic testimonies were impaired vision being restored, lumps disappearing, and the lame healed. It's difficult to know exactly how many accepted Christ. You see, the people were so hungry to receive a touch from God that every time we tried to pray a prayer of repentance, every hand seemed to be raised.
Through your support, you play a vital role in sending us with the gospel of King Jesus around the world. Jesus said in Matthew, "He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet receives a prophet's reward." Because of your generous giving, you will receive a reward with us for the souls being saved and built up in their faith through this ministry. Will you help us? Become a financial partner today. Stand with us and be part of blessing people around the world.
Now, back to today's program.
I'm reading now a testimony from Catherine from Texas. She said, "Your teaching on the Song of Songs has made me more hungry for God than ever." And this is one of the goals that King Jesus has for us in communicating His Word for us. See, the Bible says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." And He wants us to taste Him so we can become hungry for Him, because it's the hungry and the desperate ones that experience God. It's like the hungrier we are, the more of His power is released into our lives. And in order for us, beloved ones, to have this sense of faith that we can be touched by King Jesus in an intimate and in a personal way, we have to believe that He loves us like He loves nobody else, that we're very, very special to Him. Listen to what I received here from a woman in California. I'm going to read now the book of the Song of Songs, chapter 6, verse 9, as kind of a background scripture. In the Song of Songs, chapter 6, verse 9, we read this. Jesus is calling His bride here, who's the shadow of you and I, because we're the bride of Christ. We're going to the marriage supper of the Lamb, Revelation chapter 19. Verse 7 through 9, and Jesus says here in the Song of Songs, chapter 6, verse 9, "But my dove, my perfect one, is unique." You see, it's not just that God so loved the world, it's that He loves you individually, personally, especially, that you've got a relationship with Him that's like nobody else's, that you're unique, that you're special. We all want to feel, beloved, like we're God's best, like we're His favorite. That's the way He wants us all to feel, just like those of us that are good parents want for our children. We want each one of our children to feel that we love them the best. Not that we love them better than their brother or sister, but we want them to feel that's special to us, that we love them uniquely, that they're our favorite. Not the favorite over somebody else, but just that each one feels so special to us. And so King Jesus communicates to us, His children, His church, His bride, individually in Song of Songs, chapter 6, verse 9. But my dove, my perfect one, is unique. And so listen what Tammy from California wrote. She said, I could not believe every episode I felt you were talking to me personally. And this is what I feel the Lord is wanting to communicate to you right now. Many of us have this concept of truth, of the scriptures, and we look at it very generally. It's like God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Yes, but what we lack is an understanding that you and I were individually in Jesus, that when He died on the cross, He was specifically thinking about you, that He knew you before you were born, that He knows the number of hairs that are on your head, that He loves you in a way that is more intimate that you and I can fathom right now. But He wants to communicate this to us. But you see, it's like this. If you have something that's very, very important to say to somebody, something very critical to say to somebody, you're not going to say it to them when you don't have their attention. You might be burning in desire to communicate it, but if they're not paying attention to you, you're not going to speak it. It's when they turn their attention to you fully, when you have their undivided attention, that's what you're going to speak this thing to them that's so precious to you, that is the deepest thing that you could communicate. You're going to wait for the right time. You see, Jesus said He's not going to cast what's holy to dogs or cast His pearl before swine. He's going to wait till we love Him and He has our undivided attention for Him to reveal the depths of His intimacy and His love for us. That's why He said in John 14, 21 and 23, He said, if you love Me, He said, and obey Me, I'm going to make My love known to you. Listen to what another individual experienced here. As she was listening to the Song of Songs, she said, from Texas, she said here, your message on the Song of Songs, she said, get this now, I want you to get this. It melted my heart. She said, the Holy Spirit communicated the true love of Jesus to me as I was listening to your word on the Song of Songs in such a way, get it now, that it melted my heart. When you think about your heart being melted, that is something that you feel. I mean, it's something that is an emotional experience. And you see, the Lord wants us to be able to emotionally connect with Him. Because God has feelings. That's why we have feelings. If God didn't have feelings, we wouldn't have feelings. It's only because God has feelings that we have feelings. And so this relationship that we've been called into with King Jesus, it's not a relationship that's devoid of feelings. It's true that we need to learn how to walk by faith and not by feelings, because God's going to bring us through times in our life where we're going to need to walk by faith when there is no feeling. This is one of the primary foundational elements that we have to learn to become mature in our faith, to not rely on sight and not rely on feelings. Absolutely, no question. But on the other hand, to say that we should expect our whole walk on earth with Jesus to not have feelings for Him, to not be emotional, to not be touched in our emotions, that's just wrong. That's just not truth. No, God's an emotional being. And He created us, beloved, with emotions to experience Him primarily. So I want to encourage you today to reach out for more to King Jesus. Don't let yourself be trapped in a form of religion that's devoid of reality. King Jesus loves you. He loves me. We're beautiful to Him. Listen to what I have here, another letter. I'm going to springboard this from the book of Song of Songs, chapter 7, verse number 1. The Lord says to His bride, to His church, the Shulamite bride, a shadow of you and I, in the Song of Songs, chapter 7, verse number 1, He says, how beautiful are your feet in sandals. He continues on the same thing, beloved ones, in verse number 4 with these words. Hear the word of God in chapter 4, verse 1 of the same book. Jesus says this. He says, how beautiful you are, my darling. Do you know, our heart is not open to experience love if we feel ugly. We can't feel loved if we feel ugly. Because if we feel ugly, we feel like we're not accepted. But you see, the Bible says we're accepted in the Beloved One, that we're accepted in Jesus. This is one of the primary foundations of salvation, that because Jesus died for our sins and clothed us with His own righteousness, we're accepted now in the Beloved, and we're beautiful to God because of Jesus. God sees His glory in us. He created us in His own image, and now our sin has been removed through Jesus, and we're beautiful and lovely to Him. We're His bride. And so we have people that are being touched as they're understanding that maybe they were rejected by their ex-husband or ex-wife, or maybe they were picked on when they were going to school, or maybe they were fired from a job, and they, as a result of that, they fought against feeling ugly, against feeling attractive. But I want you to hear today, beloved ones, that Jesus says and thinks you're beautiful to God. And I pray right now, Father God, those that are watching, those that are desperate, those that are hurting, those that are broken, Father, I ask You right now to arrest them in the Spirit. I take authority over darkness and I break it off their lives, and I bind You, Satan, and every demonic power under their feet. Father, I ask You to release a knowledge of how beautiful they are to You into their hearts, into their minds, into their spirits right now. I speak beauty over you, beloved ones. And even as I speak it, I hear the Lord calling you. I hear Jesus calling you, darling. We are beautiful, beloved ones, to God. And this is not something that we just doctrinally are to believe in. It's something that we're supposed to receive and experience. Let's confess it together. We're just going to simply repeat this statement. I am beautiful to God. Let's say that together. I am beautiful to God. I am lovely to You, Lord Jesus. Let's repeat that. I am lovely to You, Lord Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. You see, once you encounter Jesus, your whole life will change. You know, you can hear sermons until you're blue in the face, but if you're not touched by Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, beloved, oftentimes the Word will have little effect on you. It's only when we encounter His Word with the Holy Spirit and in the Holy Spirit, it's only that we encounter the Word. It's only when we encounter the Word with Jesus touching us by it that our heart is set ablaze. I want to pray for us as we begin to close today. And I want to ask you just to lift your hands, even to get on your knees right now. Let's ask Jesus to touch us. It may be very subtle, but I want to encourage you to continue to look up. Let's put our hand over our heart. Jesus, I'm going to ask you to repeat after me. Jesus, thank You that You love me. Thank You that I'm marked by You. Thank You that I'm beautiful to You. Thank You for forgiving my sins. Help me to feel Your love. Shalom, beloved ones. My name is Messianic Rabbi K.A. Schneider. Welcome today to this edition of Discovering the Jewish Jesus. Father, we pray that You would release the river of life through the Holy Spirit into our hearts today. Father, that You would lift our hearts to encounter You. Father, for those today that may feel dry, that may be depressed, those that are sad, those that are lonely, those that are despondent, those that are looking down, those that are without hope, Father, I ask You to lift their hearts today. Inspire us by Your love, King Jesus, I ask You today, for Your name and for Your fame. And all of us that are in agreement with this today spoke Hebrew and said, Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Beloved, we are continuing today. It's a second part of a message that I began a few weeks back, and I'm calling it My Beloved. The reason I'm calling it My Beloved is because I want us to understand how the Father feels about us. You know, King Jesus looked over His people when He was in Israel ministering several thousand years ago on earth, and He said, how often, He said, I wanted to gather you under My wings like a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. He has this enormous, all-consuming, protective love. We are His beloved ones. There's so many dimensions to His love for us. One of the dimensions of His love for us is called bridal. It's a bridal paradigm. He actually has a destiny for us that's revealed in Revelation 19, which is called the marriage supper of the Lamb, or the bride of Christ. And in this broadcast, I want us to open up in a fuller way to actually encountering the love of God in this bridal paradigm. Listen, many of us know Scripture. We're scholars in Scripture. Many of us have heard sermons preached all our lives, and yet we've never experienced a deep emotional touch from the Lord. We don't live by emotion. We have to live by faith. But to lead a life, beloved, in which we're never touched by God, so that we're touched in a way that we're emotionally moved, is dry, and it's not what God wants for us. He wants us to experience Him. And so I'm going to be focusing today on actually ministering to you the love of God. You see, I'm looking, beloved ones, for something supernatural to happen to you, something that's beyond my preaching, something that can only happen as a sovereign act of God touching your heart today. Some will be touched today. Some will not feel anything today. I want to say for those that don't feel anything today, don't be discouraged. Don't give up. God surprises us. He touches us in His own time and in His own way. Don't give up. If you don't have an encounter today, don't feel that God has passed you by, that you're not special to Him. Just take a hold of the truth that I'm proclaiming today. Keep believing. Keep expecting. Keep asking. Keep knocking, and you're going to find it. You see, the Lord said, if you search for Me with all your heart, you'll find Me. I'm really overwhelmed because I was going through many testimonies just recently that I received of people that wrote to me during my series that I preached on. It's ended on many networks now. Some perhaps are still seeing in other networks. But I preached for an entire year on the Song of Songs, 50 episodes. And the reason that I preached it was because I wanted to bring the church into a deeper encounter, a more intimate experience of the love of Jesus. I know that as the Lord introduced me to the Song of Songs and the revelation of His love that flowed into my heart through that book, I was changed. And that's why I was so committed to getting it to you, not quickly, but taking a full year so that the Word could really make a difference and really get in you, because it's such a critical Word. And as I was going through these testimonies here just recently, beloved, of all these people that had been touched, I was overwhelmed. I was so thankful for how Jesus supernaturally touched people with His love. I'm going to read a few of them today, not because I'm trying to applaud myself, but because I'm trying to lift your level of expectation for what you can believe God to do for in your life. I want to encourage you to believe God to touch you, that He will touch you in such a way that you'll know that you've encountered Him. You see, the Song of Songs ends with her receiving a touch from God that she described as fire. And God comes to us in fire, right? In Acts chapter 2, He appeared above the disciples' head as a tongue of fire. But fire is love. Fire is love. It's a fiery love. It's when we know that we've encountered Jesus, when we know that He's smiling on us, when we know that He's real, when we know that He's involved in every detail of our lives, when He becomes closer to us than our best friend, we've been touched by a love that's fire, because fire penetrates. And when we know how close He is to us, that's like a fire penetrating deep into our psyche, deep into our heart, deep into our spirit, deep into our soul, to intimately be acquainted with and to know the love of God. And that's what I want for us today. So, Father, we open up our hearts once again. You said to everyone that asks, they receive. That to everyone that knocks, the doors open. And the Father, if we would hunger and thirst for You, we would be filled. I ask You, Father, today to touch many supernaturally during this broadcast today. That King Jesus, You would make Yourself known to them, and that they would experience today Your fiery love. Touch them, watch them with peace, Lord, and show us Your glory. I want to read a letter here just to begin. I received this letter from Louisiana, from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And she writes this. She says, "Oh my goodness, I am amazed at how much I am continually blessed by Your teaching on the Song of Songs." Now get it. Here's the point I wanted to make. She says, "I am so loved," get it now, "and feel it." I am so loved and feel it. You see, many of us have been taught that we shouldn't expect to feel anything. Many people have even been taught that it's wrong to expect to feel something in our relationship with Jesus. Some have been taught that it's wrong to look for any type of emotional experience with the Lord. Beloved, that's a lie from the devil. That is just simply not true. And I rebuke any type of lie that would tell you that. No, God is emotional. Jesus wept with the people at Lazarus' death. At another point in Scripture, he was exceedingly glad and bubbled up with joy. Jesus' first miracle was at a wedding, a time of great celebration. No, God, beloved, is an emotional God. He's not ruled by emotions, even as we're not to be ruled by emotions. But on the other hand, to have no emotions, that's dead. And so it's important for us to understand that if we're going to be really alive for Jesus in our life, part of our experience with him is going to have to involve an emotional connection. Again, as I said on the last broadcast in this series, it's wrong to think that we're always going to be feeling Jesus. That's dead wrong. But on the other hand, it's equally as wrong to think that there aren't times when we're going to feel him. I remember a few years back, I was in my prayer room, and I was listening to some beautiful worship music that was mixed with prayer. And the Spirit of the Lord touched my heart. I can't explain it any other way. It was so close to my heart. I never had experienced anything like this particular anointing in my life. I experienced the beauty of God through that music. It wasn't just the music, though. It was the Holy Spirit touching my heart through the music. Because oftentimes the Spirit of the Lord will touch us through music. That's why in the Hebrew Bible we read that Elijah called for the minstrel, the musician, to play. And the Scripture says that when the musician came and began to play, it said the word of the Lord came. So the Lord uses music sometimes as a channel by which he communicates his heart to us, his feelings to us, and touches our emotions through it. That's why oftentimes if you go to church, when there's an altar call, oftentimes you'll notice that when the pastor or the leader is giving the altar call, the musician will begin to play, and you'll begin to feel something at that point, because music becomes a channel through which the Holy Spirit can touch us emotionally. And so I was in my prayer room, as I had described to you, and all of a sudden I was listening to this music, and I can't even explain it. It's beyond words. But I was touched with the beauty of God. It was so precious. There aren't even words, beloved, to explain it. And so our friend Susan from Louisiana writes, "I'm continually blessed by your teaching on the Songs of Songs." And she said, "I am so loved. I get it now." She says, "Listen, I feel it." And Father, I pray right now that you would wash your people. And that, Father, those of us that are locked up in our feelings, those of us that are blocked in our feelings, those of us that are hindered in our ability to experience your love, Father, I ask you that you would forgive us for our sin and unbelief, that you'd wash us of darkness and evil, Father God, and that you would open our hearts to experience your love. Father, the Apostle Paul prayed that you would direct our hearts into the love of God. And I ask you now, King Jesus, Lord Jesus, that you would open our hearts and draw us into encountering you in the love of God, that we would have a time that marks us, where we would know Jesus, that you've touched us, that we would feel it. Amen, and amen, and amen, and amen, and amen. In 1987, the Lord spoke to me in an audible voice and said, "You're an evangelist." Since that time, God's been preparing me, and I believe you, for what he's about to do. We are, as I stand here today, broadcasting into nearly 200 countries around the world. And recently, the Lord's begun opening doors for me to preach on the ground in Haiti and in Africa.
News of what God did in the evangelistic gathering, with the main speaker being Rabbi K.A. Schneider, has reached globally. Some of the most dramatic testimonies were impaired vision being restored, lumps disappearing, and the lame healed. It's difficult to know exactly how many accepted Christ. You see, the people were so hungry to receive a touch from God that every time we tried to pray a prayer of repentance, every hand seemed to be raised.
Through your support, you play a vital role in sending us with the gospel of King Jesus around the world. Jesus said in Matthew, "He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet receives a prophet's reward." Because of your generous giving, you will receive a reward with us for the souls being saved and built up in their faith through this ministry. Will you help us? Become a financial partner today. Stand with us and be part of blessing people around the world.
Now, back to today's program.
We saw in the Song of Songs the lesson that we can't rely on feelings all the time to carry us. Because the other end of the extremists are some people, unless they're feeling something, they fall away. So we don't want to make that mistake either. And we find in our journey to maturity in the Song of Songs that the Shulamite bride, once again, a shadow of you and I, she went through a phase that she had to conquer, that she wasn't feeling anything. She said in the Song of Songs, chapter 3, verse 1, she says, "On my bed, night after night, I saw him whom my soul loves. I sought him, but did not find him." And she went about looking to experience him. And she had to go successively through this season of being faithful to him, of seeking him, of obeying him when she was feeling nothing in order to get to be promoted to the next level of her walk in the Lord. And you know what? In the Song of Songs, she did it. She was faithful to King Jesus. She was faithful to obedience and love, even when she wasn't feeling anything. So I want to encourage two things. I want to encourage you to believe for a supernatural experience with the Lord that will move you emotionally, that you'll become more acquainted with Him than anyone on earth, that the touch that you receive from King Jesus will be stronger than any touch you've ever received in any human relationship. I read a testimony on my last broadcast in this series that was unbelievable, how this woman was touched by God and how He just exposed everything in her heart, healed her of wounds that were there for 50 years, how she experienced a love that was beyond anything she had ever experienced in her life, and how it carried her forward into the future, and she was a brand new person. That's what I'm talking about. But on the other hand, we can't expect to be sustained by feelings continually. We also have to be like warriors, like warships moving through the ocean at night, living victoriously when we have nothing but sheer faith in God's character and trust, beloved ones. Hallelujah. Amen. In His Word. Praise the name of the Lord. I'm also thinking here of this concept of being faithful in trials, because we saw in the Shulamite bride's journey in the Song of Songs that God trained her and tested her and made her strong by being faithful to Him in trial. She had to pass these difficult tests of being rejected by people, of being misunderstood, having to make hard decisions that made her an outsider. And yet, when she was faced with, will she choose to obey King Jesus or will she stay comfortable where she is? She chose to follow Jesus and to leave her comfort zone, to be faithful to Him through difficulty. And as a result, she was promoted. She became strong. And at the end of the book, she is one that is fully mature in divine love. The point is, those of us that are going through difficulties right now, we need to learn how to thank God for our difficulties. Difficulties are a blessing from the Lord. The Bible says that the temporary trials that we go through are not worthy to be compared with the eternal glory that they're working within us. Trials are necessary. The Bible says, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. I want to encourage you, if you're going through a trial right now, let's make a sacrifice of praise to the Lord. Let's thank Him for the trial. Father God, I want to ask you, encourage you to repeat after me. Father God, I thank you not only for the good times, not only when the south winds blow on my life, but I also thank you, Father God, for the north winds, for the trials, knowing that going through trials makes me strong in you, and that through going through trials, I can be made strong and brought into victory that will be stable and be solid. Father, I love you, and I give you lordship and commandership over my life. Have your way and do in me whatever pleases you. I trust you, King Jesus. Sometimes, beloved, when we can't perceive what God is doing in the circumstances, we just have to trust His heart. He's a good God. Amen. Let's continue on. I want to read a testimony here from Oklahoma. We read that through the revelation that came to her in the Song of Songs, she said, she found inner strength, peace, balance, and a way to deal with many things. Father God, I ask you to release right now, through the power of the Holy Spirit, strength and wholeness into your people's life. Jesus, I think about when you ministered to people and healed them, how you often ended that encounter with them and said, "Be made whole. Be made whole. Be made complete." Again, I'm thinking of this testimony here from this woman. in Oklahoma. She said she found strength and peace and balance and the ability to deal with life. Jesus, I ask you to strengthen us. Breathe your wholeness into us right now. Breathe on us, Lord Jesus, I pray. Breathe on us, Holy Spirit, precious Spirit of God. Breathe on us by your Spirit, O God. Breathe the wholeness of Jesus into our lives, I pray. Oh, Father God, make us complete in Christ. For your word says, in Christ, we've been made complete. Jesus, release refreshment, I pray, into your people right now. We know that Jesus, after he was crucified, he appeared to his disciples and he spoke to them and he said to them, peace be to you. And many of us know that that Hebrew word peace is shalom. And shalom means not just an absence of troubles, but the shalom of God is an inner peace. It's a wholeness. It's a completeness. So Jesus said, my peace, my wholeness, my shalom, my completeness I give to you to be able to deal with life, to be able to deal with the adversity that you face in this world, to be victorious over the storms, even as Peter walked on the water. So King Jesus, we ask you now to release peace. Give us the capacity, Lord Jesus, to receive now your peace. Oh, Father, we repent right now for closed doors in our heart that are preventing us from receiving you more deeply. Oh, Jesus, thank you today. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Finally, as we get to the end of the Song of Songs, we find at the completion of the Shulamite bride's journey, she had received a baptism of love that she described as fire. That this love that she encountered, beloved ones, pierced so deeply, it was so consuming that she described it as fire. I'm going to read now the Song of Songs, chapter 8, beloved ones, verse number 6. Hear the word of God. Put me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm. For love is as strong as death, jealousy as severe as Sheol. Its flashes are flashes of fire, the very flame of the Lord. So Jesus' love is described as fire. And she had received on her heart a baptism of love that was described as fire. King Jesus, we worship you today. We need you today. We are hungry for more. We are desperate for more. Jesus, to walk with you in a conscious awareness of your presence, to be aware of a supernatural unction, a supernatural anointing, to be aware of a supernatural energy of the divine presence of your Spirit, Lord Jesus, on our life. We ask you to open our heart to your love. Father, we think of Paul's words in Ephesians and how we prayed that we would know the depth and the width and the breadth and the length of the love of God in Christ Jesus. Father, we ask you today, touch us. Touch us, Lord. I want to ask you now, beloved ones, put your hand over your heart. Touch my heart, Lord Jesus, with your love. Just say that back to the Lord. Touch my heart, Lord Jesus, with your love. Say it by yourself now. Are you feeling something? That's the presence of God, that still, quiet affirmation, that sense of quiet love. That's Jesus' love. That's God. We need to recognize that it is God that we're feeling. Because the anointing that we respect is the anointing that we'll be able to draw from. This is God, beloved one. This is King Jesus that you're feeling, that gentle sense that he loves you. Thank you, Father God, that you love us. One more time, let's just put our hand over our heart. King Jesus, Lord Jesus, my Savior, thank you that I'm beautiful to you. Thank you that you love me. Thank you for making your love and the knowledge of your love made known to me right now. I know this is you. I will trust in your love. I will stop being afraid. I will stop fearing man. From this point forward, I declare that I know that you love me. I will not doubt it. I love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for loving me. I love you too.